following is a presentation of Radio Alabama Sports. This broadcast is copyrighted by Radio Alabama for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of the game without Radio Alabama's consent is strictly prohibited.
Things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, sponsored by Catch 'Em All Sporting Goods, Heroes Painting, Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys, Young's Drug Store, Perryland Foods, Everything Sports, and Clay and Coosa County District Attorney Joe Fickwit. Now, here are Coach Chris Heron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
Good afternoon. This is Rusty Taylor. We welcome you live here from Monte Albon Bar and Grill on the Ashland Square. We do have Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Hare, and also Heath Stroud, Heath Bone over doing the stream, and also Jeremy Character in with us tonight, assisting as we run through this Football Fiesta. As normal, we'll be having four segments. This first segment will be recapping last week's big victory over Scottsboro. In the second segment, we'll be having an AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week, and that being Miles Parker. We'll also have his position coach, Coach Raquel Ward, Coach Rock Ward, in here with us. And then in the third segment, we'll be looking into tomorrow night's game against Elmore County. And in the last segment, we'll be looking at our schedule, how they fared last week, who they'll play this week, and also the 5A top 10. Good afternoon, man. It's kind of getting comfortable in here in Monte Albon now, as we're the third week and got our feet wet in this new facility here, and just a neat place to be able to do this show right here in the front window. We got a good view of the square right here next to First Bank Alabama Studios. It's just a good place, and an exciting night, and a little bit of coolness in there. You can feel that fall football weather out there.
Yeah, and that breeze. It's been a beautiful day, comfortable day, and hopefully it'll stay that way. But it's good to be back with you again, Rusty, on Football Fiesta.
Coach Heron, good to be back. Good to be rolling here.
What about this one over here? He's showing up everywhere.
Yeah.
He's all over it, man.
We need him to be.
You dang right we do. He's a
right now, I'm more impressed by the milk he brought yesterday than
well,
anything.
Well, that is the milk. The milk in the cups. He brought milk in cups yesterday morning.
So, yeah. Not only did he bring the milk, he thought about cups.
Yeah.
And that's impressive.
Absolutely. Anybody brings that, we all for
you
them.
Think if we called Bone to get us milk, would he have brought cups back?
No.
Okay.
Bone brought back that green bottle of milk. I ain't never seen that before.
Evidently, it was buttermilk. I think that's what it smelled like anyway. But, you know, usually green milk is it. Green bottle of milk is buttermilk.
Yeah,
maybe that was the problem. Maybe it wasn't ruined. It was just the wrong thing.
It was just buttermilk.
But, guys, we look back at last week. Volunteers get a big 26-9 victory over Scottsboro. A very good team. The Volunteers used their speed to get up to 13-0 there towards the end of the first quarter. And you know, Scottsboro fought back, but it was a pretty dominant win for the Volunteers.
Well, it was, and you know, you mentioned those two explosive runs there in the first quarter, one of them by Taylor Boyd, the other one by J.D. Hall, and quickly we're out to a 13-0 lead. But Scottsboro, a very good football team, is you know, they were averaging 38 points a game, and we kind of got on their offense, held them. Kind of took away some things they like to do, and that hurt them offensively. And I'll tell you another key that helped us from that standpoint was the time of possession. You know, we were able to run the ball for some big yardage, and that kind of kept the ball away from their offense. But another great game, and you know, we saw J.T. Wilkerson reappear for the first time since opening day, and that was a I thought he had an impact on the game as well, and probably will do more so in the coming games.
Absolutely. Coach Heron, look back at last week, kind of a balanced attack offensively. JT come out throwing the ball well, but still doing a very good job running the football for 325 yards. So I know you can speak to the offensive line and the job they did against a very good Scottsboro defense.
It was a good front across there. Gave us some different looks, some different – you know, some different movements pre-snap. But our guys across the front, you know, the Hogs, they did a good job across there again. You know, out of the five guys, four of them getting in the blue with their grade and having a good night there. You know, Noah Peterson leading the way there. He had an 86 right behind him. Dewey Brown, two of our guys that have, you know, took our Hog of the Week award in the past. We had Cole Rice. You know, he's had another one, 83% there. Tomlin with a 79. So, you know, all across the front. Good job there. 40 carries. We rushed the ball 40 times, as you said, Taylor. Had that 325 yards to go along with us, about 74 yards passing, and that kind of attack. And being 4-5 out of 10 throwing the ball, JT back in there bringing a different wrinkle to us. We've kind of lacked a little bit the last few weeks, and good to see what he brought to the table. He looked good out there, and it'll be interesting after, you know, now a couple of weeks of practice with him back in there, with the things we've accomplished and kind of some running things we've settled into the last few weeks. And as the offense now, you know, that playbook's going to get a lot bigger and be able to attack in a lot of different ways with the Volunteers.
We'll look back a little bit more at Scottsboro. Talking about Scottsboro, we've mentioned it. Coach Horns mentioned it, and I think we would all agree it's probably going to come out to between them and Gunnersville. What's Gunnersville ranked this week? About fourth in the 5A? Is it something like that?
Well, let's see, Rusty. I've got that right here somewhere. They're at number five.
Okay. Number five, right in front of us. And I think it's going to come down to Scottsboro and Gunnersville for that region title up there in that region. Scottsboro, not a pushover by any means. A very, very good football team. Well-coached football team that presents a lot of challenges and play a physical style of football. I think the speed of the game was the difference for us Friday night for sure.
Well, and we saw that in the first quarter with those two big runs that we had, and we also saw it in some other ways. On their deep, they tried to hit us deep a couple of times, working on our corners and. We were able to stay with their receivers pretty well, better than we have with anybody else. We never got beat that often, that much in this particular game. But you could see the speed and on those broken plays that we scored on, people had angles on us, and we were able to still outrun them even with their advantage of having those angles. So speed was a factor in that game.
For sure, and looking back, some good performances on defense. We talked about, of course, Miles Parker, AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week. Defensive line really made a difference up there. I think linebacker play was good as well. Coach Horn was pleased with his linebacker play from Mullins and Watts there from our linebacker spots. So really, our front seven, so to speak, played well. Overall that group. And we're including our outside linebackers in that. Played a really good football game and kept things contained up front.
And, you know, I think we had like four people maybe with six or five tackles. So we were playing good all across the defensive front there.
And we saw a safety against us this past Friday night, or we'd seen one the week before for us. Saw a safety 2 weeks in a row.
And that safety, going back to that, Coach, I'm glad you mentioned that. Was probably the best thing in the situation, and it turned out as good as it could for us.
It did.
Looked like, you know, the ball was going to get free there, and they might have a chance to recover for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You know, that cut the lead to 13-9 right there on that safety, and we turn around and kick off from our 20,
right.
And we choose to kick off. So you can punt or kick off. We choose to kick off, and we kick it reasonably deep, and then they're called for – they have a penalty on the return, and mm-hmm. it makes them up. So you're expecting them – if we could keep them around midfield, we've done it. We would have done a really good job. But their penalty, I want to say they started all the way back at around the 35 or inside the 40.
Yeah, around the 35.
And was a huge deal, I think.
I think that penalty actually came on the extra point, and it was enforced on the kickoff.
Okay.
But the whole situation saved us.
Well, they didn't have an extra point. Because that was a safety.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Well, it occurred on that safety. Remember, yeah. It was a late hit, I think, on the tackle or piling on.
Okay.
But it saved us five points.
A dead ball. It would have been a dead ball.
I think it happened on the safety.
Well, we kicked off from a 20, so we'd have kicked off from a 35. It had to be on the kick itself. So it had to be on the kick itself. I think they were penalized for a block in the back.
That made me thinking about another game here. I can't.
Surely not.
There were so many football games. I can't put it all together here.
Well, sometimes there's a lot of penalties and they run together. But I think that penalty you're remembering, I do remember the. But they did have one. Like on the extra point or something.
Well, I remembered that somehow.
But that time on the safety, we kicked off from a 20, but they were penalized, which turned out to be the best-case scenario. When the snap went a little high, Taylor goes up, and from our angle, it looked like it was about goal post high. And he goes up and gets an arm on it, brings it down, keeps it from – you know, in all honesty, if he would have known what we know now, he might have just let it sail on through the end zone. He wouldn't have had to fault for it so hard. But, you know, your reaction and athleticism, you're going to try to get the football, and he did, and done a good job to get it covered up and just keep it to a safety, and they didn't score again. You know, they scored the one touchdown and a safety on the night, so, the defense stood strong from then on out. But I do think that field position, if you get them the football at midfield with it 13-9, things look a lot different.
Absolutely.
So, but a big win for the Volunteers. It is a non-region game, but it's a good 5A North team that we were competing against. But we moved back into region play this week, so I think the momentum we can carry forward with us.
You guys were talking about penalties in that game. I thought that the Vols only had three, and that's the lowest penalty number of penalties we've had in the game, and that's a good sign. You know, maybe we're lessening some of those penalties, especially pre-snap stuff like that, you know. So that's a positive, just to be only three penalties on the night.
That's true, Coach. That's probably the least amount we've been penalized, I'm sure, on the year. And you go back to, you know, we had the 52-minute delay, and you're always concerned about what that's going to look like.
Right.
How's that going to interfere with your team? But if anything, I think our team took it in stride. They came out ready to play. We took the 13-0 lead during the first quarter. So we came out fresh looking. If anything, I think, you know, I don't know. You can't say that there's ever an advantage, but it did not hurt the Balls. They stayed focused and come out ready to play. Come out with like a 10-minute warm-up, got ready to go, and came out and played football just like it was a normal night. And once you get those first couple snaps underway, from a player and a coach's standpoint, that 52 minutes is gone.
Yeah,
at
means
that
nothing. Means nothing.
It's all in what you do during that 52 minutes. But once that happens, once you get to play and you forget and you just play the game from that point on. And all actuality, because of us being penalized less and running the football like we did, to start 52 minutes late, the game got over with in a reasonable time.
Yeah, it was still later than normal.
I mean, we would have been pushing getting over just after 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
without the, because we finished just after 10, I think.
Right.
So a 9 o'clock end to a game for us is pretty early.
Plus the Russian attack helped out in that matter as well.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have anything else that stood out to you guys about the Scottsboro victory last week?
Well, we completed the 2-year contract with Scottsboro, and it was a good series. Hopefully, and maybe it can continue. You know, I think it may be a good game for both teams. It kind of gives you a playoff-type feel, and, you know, the crowds were good on both ends, so maybe that series will continue. We'll know that in the future.
It's a fun trip, for sure, and a pretty trip when you make it.
Very good barbecue place there as well.
Yeah, absolutely, which is always that's always key on where did we eat. We remember that. If we remembered a year later, then it was pretty solid. 50 Taters was a good stop.
Very good.
So it was, you know, that's a big part of these travel. We need to tell the coaching staff, we need to go back there. We got a good place to eat.
Absolutely.
So, I wished it was that simple, and I know they do too. Well, I tell you what, let's take our first break. We'll come back, and we'll bring in our AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week, Miles Parker. We'll also be bringing Rock Ward, his defensive line coach, position coach, in with him right here on Classic Country 90.9.
Mm-hmm. October is Beef Month in Alabama. The aroma of seared beef and the taste of a well-prepared burger are part of what makes this month special. Blair Family Farm and Market in Ashland provides beef from cattle raised with care and attention down on their farm located at 1015 Blair Road in Ashland. From pasture to plate, their approach emphasizes stewardship and quality. Open Wednesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 6, Fridays and Saturdays from 9 to 6, Blair Family Farm and Market is the official farm-to-table meat provider of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
For over 40 years, folks have turned to Heroes Painting for dependable quality work. Whatever needs painting, Heroes Painting will paint it, as long as it's not a car. From homes to barns, new construction or remodels, and everything else in between, Heroes Painting has you covered. Heroes Painting is available by phone at 256-276-0463. That's 256-276-0463. Heroes Painting is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta and Heroes Hotline on Classic Country 90.9.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert, stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwit is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
We welcome you back here at Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albán Bar and Grill on the Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems also in with us, and we got a couple of special guests with us. We have Coach Rock Ward, defensive line coach for the Central High School of Clay County Volunteers. Good to have you, Coach Ward.
Oh, it's good.
It's about time,
back,
by the way.
I know.
Yeah.
That one year, it seemed like I stayed up here all the time.
Yeah, maybe we can continue that. This is a good start to it.
You'll start coaching, you can be.
I know, that's right.
But Miles, looking at Miles Parker here, Miles is our AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week. Miles has been in the discussion multiple times, but he had a big, big night. Friday night against Scottsboro, a dominating performance there on the defensive line, and good to have you, Miles.
Yes, sir.
You ready to talk now? You comfortable with this now, right?
Yes, sir.
It ain't your first time, so it's good to have Miles in here with us. But Miles, as we look back at last week, really, you did. We called your name a lot. The defensive line as a whole played well, I felt like, and Coach Ward to speak to that. But I did think you had an extra special night there on the defensive line. The tackles were spread out between you guys and the linebackers, but you seem to be making a difference. I know coming into that game, you guys realized you were playing a very good team in Scottsboro, and we could tell you guys were ready to play a little extra, it felt like, coming in Friday night. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
What do you think made the difference? I mean, how do you feel you played Friday night overall?
I think I played pretty good, but could have done a few things better.
Well, there's always room for improvement, and a lot of snaps there on the defensive line. Speak to that just a little bit. What do you think was different Friday night? A very good team. I mean, Scottsboro is a solid team. What do you think was the difference that allowed you to have a really big night, a good night on Friday night? Just doing what you told?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, nothing special. Look, you don't have to shy away. I don't think there's too many Scottsboro people listening anyway. So if you were just whooping a man in front of you, you just tell us. But you do that a lot. Coach Ward, speaking of Miles, one of the things that allows him here, he's not the biggest defensive lineman you would have. He's obviously a very athletic defensive lineman, which we like to have. But speak a little bit between you two about how strong Miles is. His weight room really comes and shows out a lot of times on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Like in the weight room, I mean, he's one of the strongest ones in there besides Dewey Brown. And both of them, they can lift the whole house by themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I was that strong when I was in school.
Well, and that pays off, especially on the offensive and defensive fronts.
Yes.
When when you're in those trenches battling each and every play and using every muscle you got. A lot of people take that for granted, but from playing there, it's a little bit different than playing out in open space, or it's a lot of different. You're using a lot of muscles every play.
Yeah.
You're making contact with multiple players each play, and it's lots of times it comes down to one-on-one matchups on the defensive line. And when you can win your one-on-ones and make them use two especially, then our defense is looking good, which is the way it's set up. And lots of times Miles Fide in there requires two offensive linemen, which frees our linebackers up to have a big night as well. Coach Weems, I know you coached defensive line a lot, so obviously there's an added connection to the defensive line, which is where I think me and you both would agree. You talk about linebackers, but if your defensive line don't go, the defense don't go.
Well, I think your interior defensive people, particularly the most important positions on defense, on the field. But what I noticed about Miles, particularly last week, he did a good job. What we used to call contain is called setting the edge or keeping leverage now. And he was doing an outstanding job. We were doing it on both sides and turning the play back in. And that's evidenced by the fact that we had some other guys, the inside linebackers in particular, that had a lot of tackles. And when the linebackers are making tackles, that means the edge people are turning the play there where they're supposed to. And Miles does a great job doing that. And he also does a great job when pass shows of getting that quick first step and getting pressure almost instantly on the quarterback. And Miles, how do you do that so quick? How do you know it's a pass?
Sometimes they'll get in a different stance than a run play, and you just got to pick up on that.
All right, so you're kind of going by maybe the formation and what they've done in that before.
Or the way the offensive lineman's lining up.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pressure they're putting on their hand, or if they're not getting a hand down, they're back a little bit. Especially now with a lot of people not putting a hand down. Offensive lineman, lots of times they give it away. Maybe they'll back in a foot back a little bit different than they do. And you guys watch film and pick up on that, which is huge. And when you got a good idea before it snapped, hey, this guy's pass blocking, it's a huge advantage. So this is things that our defensive line, our coach, Coach Ward, you guys look at, but the players also look at through film work each week.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, and some of the stuff that they do during the game, we work on it a lot during group work, like the reach blocks, like sitting the edge right there, either stringing the play out or trying to turn it back into the linebackers. I mean, like on the pass blocks and stuff, like I'll have like some of my younger players get over there and give them looks and stuff. And like whenever we rush, I tell them to rush half a man.
Keeping your outside arm free, still a point of emphasis?
Oh, yes, sir.
I think it would have to be. I was thinking about that, Coach Weems, most of our time coaching defensive line and defense, we had five men up there. And sometimes we do now, but it's mainly designed with a three-man front a lot of times. Yeah. Sometimes a four-man front, sometimes a five. But lots of times Miles will have to keep containment.
Yes.
Back in the day when you were a defensive tackle, you tried to keep that outside arm free, but you also had a defensive end right there beside you to help. Yeah. Now, lots of times Miles is the containment guy, especially on a pass rush.
Yes.
I mean, he's got to keep him in the pocket. Most of the time, he's going to be the end guy on the line. So that position has changed and needing to be.
And the key to the whole thing is reading the blocker's head.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the key to it.
That's the big key.
But, you know, when you work on these little fine points like you're talking about, pressure on the hand, those kind of things, that gives you an advantage against good people and and good teams.
It definitely does.
This can be the difference.
Yes. I mean, and like Rusty said, we'll sit in film on Sundays and I'll look at the line and I'll pick up on keys or anything like that, the quarterback, the way he sets his feet, and then I'll relay that to them during Monday, because Monday is usually my talking session with them.
Always a big thing. Miles, the game has changed since we've been watching it a good bit. Used to, I mean, offensive linemen were going to have their hand down. Now we see a lot more offensive linemen that don't have their hand down. So, you know, that they're up, they're standing upright. What did you prefer to go up against as a defensive lineman? Do you prefer to go back to the old school? In other words, do you prefer to match up with a guy with his hand down or with a guy standing up? Is there a preference for you in that?
I guess I'd rather them be standing up because, I mean, that kind of opens up their chest. And if I can get in their chest, then they can just go back.
You can control them from there, mm-hmm. which is a lot of the, what you're taught to do. It's not come – and a lot of people, a lot of our listeners would think, well, those defensive linemen are just trying to run around that thing, and that's one of the things we can't have you guys doing is just trying to run around the blocker. You're trying to gain control and see what they're trying to do and fight across their face and make a play. It's not just – now, there's stunts and stuff, you know, that you guys will be on, and I know you enjoy those when you get those opportunities just to hit a gap. But most of the time – your job is to fire off to the guy in front of you, not just to run around him. A lot of people would assume defensive linemen are just running into the backfield, but if we do all that all the time, we'd be in trouble.
And when you watch games, if you see defensive linemen running around blocks, you know that's not a good football team.
Exactly.
But you see more and more of it every day now.
You know, there's a lot of emphasis now on getting up the field. Yeah. And I guess when you want to get up the field, it doesn't matter how you go, just get there.
A lot of people use gap control type defenses, and you just got a gap to fire into. But, hey, we've never taught it or coached it or watched it that way, and we know what works. I mean, it's always worked, and it still works today, and it's not shooting a gap, and everybody's got a gap. That's I'm not saying you can't play defense that way, but it's not the way we've won in the past.
Unless it's an all-out pass rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you go. You remember in the old day we had a package called the Gator.
Oh, I do.
We put all four down and go.
Joe. Get to the quarterback.
They appreciate that. Well, looking into tomorrow night, Elmore County, we come back into region play, and we'll ask both of you. Looking at them, they're able to throw the football a lot and run the football. They're probably like a 50-50 team. I mean, they don't mind doing it. So for defensive lineman tomorrow night, it's going to be key to obviously to be able to stop the run, but also to get in on a good quarterback that throws the ball well, not give him a lot of time and a lot of comfort. How do you feel about tomorrow night, Rock?
I feel great about it. I mean, from a defensive line standpoint, if we can stop the run first, it'll make rushing that passer a lot more easier for us. I mean, last week we went into it, we knew that they ran the ball, and I told them we had to win the line of scrimmage. So that's going into this week. We have to win that line of scrimmage.
And I know Coach Horn is concerned about the quarterback. You know, if we get pressure on him, he can kind of scramble around.
Yes.
And he's good about throwing on the move.
Yes.
So, you know, we've got to kind of keep our lanes on our rush.
Yes.
Try to keep him in there.
Oh, yes, sir. And I think we do a great job of doing that, containing that quarterback. And, like, I tell him if he gets outside the pocket, make sure you still chase that guy because he may cut back into you and you can get cause a fumble or anything like that.
Well, one thing that I've noticed about Miles, watching him throughout his career, but especially this year, is some of the plays that might not be that impressive. He may not even make the play. Yeah. But I see him running the play, flowing down the line of scrimmage, chasing the play to the opposite sideline. Lots of times, like you said, at the last minute he'll cut back, he'll make that play. The hustle I see from Miles is one of the things that's most impressive. And I know, Coach, as you've coached Miles a few years, you see that regularly. But that's something you can be taking for granted, especially with a defensive lineman. When the play goes away, they can kind of take a little bit of a break. But I don't see your defensive lineman or Miles doing that.
Oh, yes. I mean, that, and like you said, that's something that I preach during my pregame speech to them after we do our little defense warm-ups, to hustle, to show effort. I mean, Coach B, he screams that every single day at practice. Coach Horns even says it. The effort has to be there.
And if you don't take that proper route, you know, that proper pursuit angle, you're setting yourself up for a reverse or a cutback.
Exactly.
You know, you've got nobody in position to handle those kind of plays.
Exactly right.
A lot of discipline required from the position that Miles plays.
It is.
Coach, why don't you grab that plaque real quick, Coach Wings?
I can do it, Coach.
Well, I wanna first of all give you both of you guys a chance to say your anything. You thank anybody first, Miles. You got anybody you want to thank or anything you'd like to say for you before we let you go here?
I want to thank Coach Rock for teaching me how to do it.
Absolutely. It's good to see you. You got your mother over there right with you. She follows and supports you well, and And I know a volunteer fan base. Coach Ward, good to have you in here. You got to get yourself back in here. But anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
I mean, I just want to thank Miles for being a tremendous player. I mean, like you said, I've had Miles for a couple of years now, and he's growing every single day and every single week that we play. He's getting better. I mean, he's one of the ones that I have in group work for an hour, so he can sit right there and learn. I mean, he can teach the younger ones to be like him. And I hope he keeps it up. I mean, his future is very bright.
That's one thing to look across that defensive line, and you guys have got a few seniors up there. You play a lot. And, of course, you know, you got Trenton and Dewey playing, Miles playing. You got some other guys, younger guys that are working in there. But having a lot of senior leadership up front is making a difference on that defense.
It definitely has.
Well, at this time, we'd like to award – Miles Parker with the AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week for his game in a 26-9 victory over Scottsboro last week. Congratulations, Miles.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good job.
There you go, Miles.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
At this time, we'll take a break and come back right here on Classic Country 90.9. Get a few pictures and come back.
Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. They are located in downtown Lineville and are open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. More information is available by calling 256-396-5663. Perryland Foods is proud to sponsor Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys assist clients in auto and motorcycle accidents, 18-wheeler collisions, boating accidents, wrongful death, medical malpractice, premises liability, and workplace injuries, and is known for compassionate, informed representation. Attorneys handle each case personally, not through case managers. Info is available at tpharlaw.com, T-P-H-A-R-R-law.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
At Young's Drugstore, we're more than just a pharmacy. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your first call when it matters most. Young's Drugstore has been serving your family with hometown care for generations. With two locations to serve you in Randolph County, Young's Drugstore and General Store is located on Highway 48 in Woodland. The phone number is 256-449-2372. And serving Clay County at the Lineville location on Highway 9, the phone number is 256-396-5632. Proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9.
October is Beef Month in Alabama. The aroma of seared beef and the taste of a well-prepared burger are part of what makes this month special. Blair Family Farm and Market in Ashland provides beef from cattle raised with care and attention down on their farm located at 1015 Blair Road in Ashland. From pasture to plate, their approach emphasizes stewardship and quality. Open Wednesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 6, Fridays and Saturdays from 9 to 6. Blair Family Farm and Market is the official farm-to-table meat provider of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albon Bar and Grill here on the Ashton Square. It's Rusty Tutter, Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Aaron. Also got Heath Stroud working on the streaming, and we've got Jeremy Carricker helping us along tonight, helping us run things around. Coach Heron, each week you give up your headset as we bring the players and the coach in. I know you do a lot of watching on the offensive line, but obviously on the defensive line as well when the defensive group gets out there. Miles, a player that we've watched for a couple of years, just an impressive player, a really strong player, plays with a lot of physicality, and it was good to see him be able to win this award. Anytime an offensive or defensive lineman, it's not the easiest thing to be awarded a player of the week, honestly, for those positions, and Miles very deserving.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt. You know, he had the 5 solo tackles. He had his 3 assists, one of those for a loss. Hurried the quarterback one time. And to me, one of the best things, he graded out at 88%. And, you know, and that's just 88% of the time he did exactly what he needed to do on a certain play. You know, and you're not always making the tackle, but you're doing your job and to take care of your responsibility to allow somebody else to be in position to finish off that play. And, you know, for a defensive lineman, especially any defensive player, but especially a defensive lineman, you know, with everything he's dealing with there, folks trying to not let him do what he's supposed to do, to be able to finish out and grade out at 88%, I mean, that speaks highly to Parker and the game he had last week. And he's been very consistent, you know, in his grading and the grades he's made and his performance. And he is a very valuable member of the front of that defense for our Volunteers.
And, you know, Coach, we mentioned the fact some other guys on defense, particularly inside linebackers, had big games. And that's a testament to Miles doing what he's supposed to do to turn that play to them.
Exactly, that's right. And, you know, and at times he's occupying more than one blocker, and when he's able to do that, it's freeing up some of those linebackers. And you know, that's a lot of people don't, you know, that part of the game doesn't get watched and noticed as much. But it's, again, you know, we say it all the time, along that line of scrimmage, those individual battles that are played out there during the game go a long way toward a team being able to have the success like the Vols had last Friday night.
Well, as we look into tomorrow night, you know, we transfer away from last week and kind of focus on tomorrow night. We'll be welcoming in the Elmore County Panthers, a big region opponent. Elmore County have come in 4-1 overall, but importantly 2-0 in region play. And this is, we're not trying to say it is, but it's almost like a region championship game. It's that type of, it'll be that type of atmosphere. And it's that atmosphere, and it's that important of a game tomorrow night when Elmore County comes in, coming in with us two being the only two teams in region without a loss.
Well, you would think, it's like Coach Horn says, you know, if you beat a team with no losses, it's like a two-game lead on them, because you have the tiebreaker on them if you do end up in a tie with them. So more than likely, this game will determine the region champion. I mean, it's not cut and dried. I'm just saying more than likely the winner of this game, certainly in the driver's seat.
Absolutely. And we look at Elmore County. Coach Kyle Caldwell, you guys talked to him this morning on the three-point stance. Comes into his fourth season. You know, they've been improving, I think, each year. And they come in at 4-1. He's 26-11 overall, kind of a younger head coach, but he's instilled a hard physical play. They play the game hard. They're aggressive, but, you know, they're really strong on the offensive side. That's kind of where they picked up immediately. But one thing I've noticed about them is they are improved on defense. It's kind of – their offense has been pretty good over the last couple of years, but their defense has struggled. And over the last couple of weeks, their defense has looked really good.
Well, they gave up some points in their first three games. And, of course, some of that may have been who they were playing. But once they got into the playoff, into the region play against Beauregard and
Hopeful.
And Hopeful, they've only given up one touchdown in each of those games. So they've made steady improvement defensively. And they start 8 seniors on defense. And I think, as you mentioned, this is the best defensive team that Coach Caldwell has had there at Elmore County. And with 6 seniors on offense starting, this is kind of the culmination of a couple of years of development. And we're seeing that in this year's team. And, you know, he's made the playoffs all 3 previous years that he's been there, but he's yet to win a playoff game. I'm sure he wants to get that trend changed this year. But we've seen steady improvement from year 1 to this being year 4, and particularly on the defensive side of the ball.
Coach Heron, I know you've watched them. You've seen them over the last few years, but a much improved football team coming in tomorrow night in a big important game.
It is, and, you know, defensively, and Coach Williams referenced at the improvement as on defense as much as anything. You know, they've kind of settled into this their 3-4 front, you know, and that's kind of what you're going to get pretty standard most of the game. They'll do some movement across some movement in there, different things. They'll eagle those guys down, you know, tighten down the tackles at times with the defensive ends. They don't have much. Their stunts, most of that's going to come on, you know, later downs in the third down situations. If we go for it on fourth down, that's where you're going to see some stunts out of the fronts, that type of thing. They're going to play a lot of man-to-man in the secondary. You know, they're going to man up on your receivers. They're going to do their best to keep seven men in the box to try to limit your run and try to make you throw the football. So, you know, defensively, those guys up there, especially the down guys, they're looking to penetrate, to clog up the gaps, to take away those A-B gaps, bounce everything from C-gap out, and, you know, to where they've got pursuit coming from inside out with that out of that 3-4 defense. And, you know, short yardage situations, if we can get, you know, work ourselves into some of those, you know, out in the field, we're probably looking at like a 5-3 look there, some stunts out of that a little bit, maybe some bear down with the ends. You know, you get closer maybe to the goal line, you're going to get into what, you know, the old 6-2 look there. Again, a lot of man-to-man we're going to see should give us some opportunities to make some plays in, with our passing game if we're able to, you know, protect our quarterback and take a few shots ourselves. So a lot of improvement there on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, they're averaging, you know, close to 31 points a game. And they're throwing the ball. You know, with the films we've had, we've seen them throwing anywhere between 24 to 35 passes a game. So they're going to take their shots. And it's like, you know, Coach Caldwell, in his fourth year, everybody there now have grown up in his system, and they understand how he wants things. And it's shaping up to be, you know, that type of region game. The two teams that hadn't lost a region game yet, and somebody's going to lose one tomorrow night.
Well, I tell you what, Elmore County had an off week last week. You know, they did not play. They had their bye week last week. And you can't tell me they didn't take that extra week, and they won't be some stuff, especially he's a very offensive-minded coach. You can expect we'll see some things, multiple things tomorrow night that we have not. You know, he knows the importance of this game. And I would expect to see some of them very early because he's going to try to take control or get a chance early to for his team. Let's be honest, it's a team that hadn't ever beat us. It's a team that needs something to go their way early to try to give them momentum and promise, and I can see him taking some chances.
Well,
some challenging plays for the Volunteers.
He's going to look at some ways other teams have hurt us, you know, and maybe try some of that. But one thing that's going to be interesting to me, you know, everybody that we play has some kind of package they want to do when we go to the three-back set, the wishbone set. And, you know, some of them substitute, some don't. It's going to be interesting to see what his theory on it is because, you know, oftentimes if we go to it in the middle of a series and stay in it multiple plays and they're adjusting with what they have on the field, then we're going to get some mismatches in certain places, you know, when they can't substitute. So it'll be interesting to see what their theory is in defending our wishbone set tomorrow night.
One thing that I think we've got to mention, and we've mentioned it a little bit, but JT Wilkerson being back available.
Sure.
But now we just talked to Taylor Boyd as he came through. We got a bunch of players in here tonight, but Taylor came through. Taylor's took a lot of snaps. He's took quarterback snaps. We know we'll see some Wildcat. We've been running it. It's been working too well not to use it. But now you think about what Elmore County's got to get ready for.
They've
us.
Had to work on it all.
And we don't even know, we're sitting right here as connected we are, what all we might see tomorrow night or when we might see it. But there's a lot of options with another added quarterback, JT, being available to what we might do offensively. And you mentioned that, Coach. The way I remember it, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, Elmore County has really struggled when we've got in the two-tight wishbone. They have yet to really slow us down very much in that formation. So we hadn't ran it as much this year, in my opinion, as maybe we have in years past. But I think with JT back and him kind of getting his feet back under him a little bit, it's a great formation to be able to do
and
that.
And that's what I was saying about how they're going to adjust to it. If they go to a 5-3 look, that means they're bringing an outside linebacker up to play defensive end, and that defensive end is going to have to take on that kickout block. So, you know, a lot of things to think about when you start trying to defend the wishbone set.
Coach Heron, what's your take on that? Talking about what do you expect to see now that the Volunteers are getting more back to kind of full song, so to speak, with JT coming back. We've talked about it all year. When JT comes back, when JT's available, what's it going to look like? Tomorrow night, you know, we got a little look at it last week, but not a full look. I think we'll have a little bit more of an opportunity to get maybe a little more full picture of what our offense might look like with everybody out there.
I think one thing is from the different formations, from the wishbone to our spread sets to our wildcat sets, with the right personnel in the game, we can make those changes without changing personnel. If the right personnel is in the game,
which really is a challenge for a defense.
Which even more challenging for the defense. You're not seeing personnel on and off the field and just being able to change it from one play to the next. If you can do that, and we with the right personnel, we can be in any formation with the right personnel on the field, our bone set, our spread, or our wildcat.
Yeah, because JT's capable of playing some other positions.
Sure, he can play some other positions. So
and he's done it before.
And then like Coach Williams was saying, you get outside linebackers, you having to come up sitting on the line of scrimmage. Well, they're out of position. That's not their game. So if they're having to adjust without substituting, if you're able to do that, I mean, you've had to spend some time this week as Elmore County defensively working on a lot of different things because there's some unknown of exactly what the Volunteers will do tomorrow.
And to take that a little bit further, Coach, on their three front people, mm-hmm. I mean, two of them are actually a hybrid tackle and end.
That's right.
And now you got two hybrid guys sliding down,
right,
having to take on offensive tackles.
Right, playing a true defensive tackle position down in there. So
it poses problems.
Yeah, now you've got basically four people out of a position that they're really in there to be playing.
And I don't know that we would play JT in defense, but he's capable of playing, and that may change. It could change some opportunities defensively. You know, we've added JD back there at a corner, but the depth in the back end of our defense is just instantly picked up if the need arises. So just really positive to have everybody that all those skills available to you. We're going to take our last break right here on Football Fiesta and come back. We'll be looking at our opponents, how they fared, who they'll face tomorrow night, and also the 5A Top 10. You want to stick around right here on Classic Country 90.9.
For over 40 years, folks have turned to Heroes Painting for dependable quality work. Whatever needs painting, Heroes Painting will paint it, as long as it's not a car. From homes to barns, new construction or remodels, and everything else in between, Heroes Painting has you covered. Heroes Painting is available by phone at 256-276-0463. That's 256-276-0463. Heroes Painting is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta and Heroes Hotline on Classic Country 90.9.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert, stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwit is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. They are located in downtown Lineville and are open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. More information is available by calling 256-396-5663. Perryland Foods is proud to sponsor Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys handles a range of serious injury cases, including auto accidents, 18-wheeler crashes, motorcycle and boating accidents, wrongful death, premises liability, and workplace injuries. Their attorneys provide direct legal support throughout each case. Known for professionalism and client-centered service, the firm emphasizes trust and communication. Info is at tfarlaw.com, tpharrlaw.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
At Young's Drugstore, we're more than just a pharmacy. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your first call when it matters most. Young's Drugstore has been serving your family with hometown care for generations. With two locations to serve you in Randolph County, Young's Drugstore and General Store is located on Highway 48 in Woodland. The phone number is 256-449-2372. And serving Clay County at the Lineville location on Highway 9, the phone number is 256-396-5632. Proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 Football Fiesta. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Herron. Heath Stroud messing with the camera, got his nose curled up. That's concerning. Got Jeremy Character over here helping us out, checking things out. Herron, you know what?
What's that?
Give Character 2 weeks, he could run this whole show.
He can do it all by himself.
Set it up, run it.
He can be here, there. He can do the whole thing.
We've had him. We're plugging him in just a little bit, some pieces.
Yeah, here and there, yeah.
But that's perfect. We want somebody else
that's
that,
exactly
that,
what we
that
want.
Can handle it for sure. But
we don't need nobody that ain't smarter than us.
No. Well, boy, it's tough. It's tough to find somebody that's smarter than us.
That ain't too tough.
That ain't bragging on Character too much saying he's smarter than us.
Yeah, that's not saying a whole lot if he's smarter than us.
Well, Coach, each and every week we look at our schedule, how they fared last week, and who they'll play tomorrow night. Coach Herron, will you lead us through that?
Yeah, absolutely, Taylor. I'd love to. And we're going to look at the 10 opponents on the Vols' regular season schedule. We start out with the Hanley Tigers. We played them back first game of the year. Hanley improves to 5-1. Everybody last week now was a non-region game. Hanley improved their overall record to 5-1. Their only loss still that opening game of the season for them against our Volunteers. Last week they were at home and they survived Lynette with a win 15-13. Hanley over Lynette last Friday night in that non-region game. This week they're back at home at Wright Field. They're in Roanoke taking on Bullitt County as they get back into region play. The Benjamin Russell Wildcats, well, after dropping their opening game of the year to Opelika, they've reeled off 5 wins in a row. They're finding themselves at 5-1. Last week they made travel down to Troy, playing at Trojan Stadium there on the campus of Troy University. And Ben Russell defeated Charles Henderson 60-23 to run their record to 5-1. This week they're back at the Sportsplex. They're in Ellic City. They'll be taking on the Helena Huskies in a region game there. The Valley Rams, they're at 3-2, 1-1 in region play. And last week they dropped a game. They at home there in the Valley, they played Russell County, and Russell County defeated Valley 44-34. And Valley this week, they host the Sylacauga Aggies at home there at Valley. Marbury, the Bulldogs, they find themselves now at 1-5. After last week, they traveled to Sipsey Valley, and they lost a heartbreaker, 20-19. Marbury lost to Sipsey Valley, 1-5 now on the year, and they are open. They're the odd team out in the 7-team region this week. They draw the open date tomorrow night. Sylacauga, those Aggies, 3-3 in overall. After last week picking up their third win of the year, they won on the road at Jemison, 43-36, to run their record back to 500. And tomorrow night, of course, we've mentioned it, they're on the road at Valley. Scottsboro, the Wildcats, they dropped their second game of the year last week to our Vols here at Clay Central. Their record now 4-2 after that 26-9 loss to our Volunteers. They'll be at home tomorrow night taking on Brewer. Elmore County, the Panthers, making their way here to Volunteer Stadium. Open last week. They're bringing their 4-1 overall record, 2-0 in the region, into Volunteer Stadium tomorrow night to take on our Volunteers. Hopeful, those Bulldogs of Hopeful, at 2-3 after last week dropping a game at Maplesville. Maplesville defeating Hopeful 52-14, and they will be at Beauregard tomorrow night. Those Beauregard Hornets last week, they played at Andalusia, and they lost to the Andalusia 21-7. Beauregard's record now 1-5 overall, and they are hosting Hopeful tomorrow night. And Pell City, those Panthers coming up at the end of the year, our 10th game of the year, they're now at 4-1 after an open week last week, and they host tomorrow night. They're at Pete Rich Stadium on the campus of Pell City High School. They host the Oxford Yellow Jackets in a big Class 6A region matchup. And that's a look at the opponents on the Vols' regular season schedule.
Appreciate it, Coach. Heron will move into Coach Williams as he'll bring us the 5A top 10.
All right, looking at the 5A this week, top 10, there's a little bit of movement. A couple of teams dropped out. Some moved around. Number one is still Vigor, and they'll be playing Alberta tomorrow night. That's a region game for them. Williamson has moved up to number two, and they'll be playing Faith tomorrow. And it's very unusual to see two teams from the same region in the first two slots, but that's what we've got there with Vigor and Williamson. Number three is Fairview.
There they are, Coach.
They're on the move. They have been since day one, and they'll be playing Russellville tomorrow night. Moody, they dropped two spaces. You know, we talked about they played Auburn last week, and we talked about if they lost, how far they would drop. Well, they dropped two spaces, and they're the only team in the top ten with two losses. But Moody will play center point in their game tomorrow night. Number five team is Gunnersville. They'll be playing at Grissom. And, of course, we talked about the Gunnersville and Scottsboro game probably will determine the region champion up there in that region. The Volunteers hanging at number six. Of course, they will play Elmore County at home tomorrow night. The number seven team, and this team has moved all the way from out of the top ten up to number seven, and that's Northside from over at Northport. They'll be playing at Sipsey Valley tomorrow night. The number eight team is Leeds. They play St. Clair County. And the number nine team, the team that the Vols beat this past week, Scottsboro, they'll host Brewer tomorrow night. And then number 10 is St. Clair County. And we mentioned they'll be playing Leeds. So either Leeds or St. Clair County probably will get bumped out of the top 10 this week. And sitting right there ready to move back in is Corner. They didn't make it this week, but they're number 11. And then some other 5A teams, you've got Priceville, Ramsey, Andalusia. The Elmore County team that's coming here tomorrow night, they receive votes. Eufaula, Jacksonville, Briarwood, and Carver of Birmingham, all those schools receive votes in that 5A poll. So Vigor hanging on at number one, the Volunteers number six this week.
Coach, as we get ready to close this edition of Football Fiesta out, Coach Heron, what do you got to share with us?
Well, I just want to speak to that. We talked about how big this game is. I mean, and it's big enough that it's pulling in Volunteer fans from Kentucky by way of Nashville coming all the way in here for this game tomorrow night.
I mean, that tells you. You're right.
That's
absolutely
right. John Brennan came all the way down here from up north.
Yeah.
Just for this region
exactly
game.
That's exactly right, for this big region clash tomorrow night. So, but it's gonna be that kind of game. The environment will be good. The weather should be nice. You know, but there's it's cooled off. It's not cool yet, but it's not as hot as it has been. And it's going to be a good night for high school football, and it should be a good game tomorrow night between these two teams sitting atop Class 5A Region 4 tomorrow night at Volunteer Stadium.
Coach Waynes, what do you got as we get ready to close things out here?
Well, you know, we're moving down the home stretch of the season. And, you know, counting tomorrow night, we still have three region games, and all the other schools do too. So there's nothing cut and dried just yet. Out of the seven teams, there's going to be four of them make the playoffs, and three of them aren't. And we'll start determining that tomorrow night. But looking for a big crowd over there tomorrow at Volunteer Stadium. And, by the way, we plan on being over there at the school in the morning, Coach, for College and Career Day.
That's right, Coach.
And we'll maybe can talk to some of the players and other people while we're there in the morning. It's been a long time since I've been on campus during the school day on game day.
You're going to have it two hours of it tomorrow, Coach. We'll be right there.
You can always join them as Coach and Friends comes on at 6 each and every weekday morning, and then three-point stance from 8 to 10. A lot of different things going on there. We'll remind you that tomorrow night our airtime is 6 o'clock is what time we'll come on for the Coosa Valley Medical Center pregame show, and then we'll move into the Blues Car Wash and Lube first quarter and kickoff right there with a cooked food kickoff at 7 o'clock. So we'll be on from 6 till about 10 is usually the thing. I don't think we'll have any weather delays tomorrow, but I
didn't think we would last week either.
No, but it's hard to argue with them as dry as it's been. So, but You're right, Coach. We watched that thing just a balloon into interesting storm there from our vantage point. But keep in mind, Volunteer Voices is each and every Saturday morning. It comes on. It airs from 8 to 10. It's usually myself, Coach Chris Hare, Tommy Wood, some other guests, or at least some of those plugged in.
Huh? Coach Steve Giddens this week.
Coach Steve Giddens will be jumping in. I'll be taking my first trip. I'll be not there for the first time.
Coach, so you're Steve taking Giddens, your Saturday.
I'm taking my I'm using my mulligan.
There you go.
I'm using my mulligan.
That's a good way to put it.
I'm using my mulligan on Saturday. So, but you'll want to join in and hear that. Tim Altork always brings the Randolph County wrap-up in that. And then at 10 o'clock, you can hear the replay that's brought to you by Spencer Loveless, land agent, a Southeastern Land Group. Until next time, God bless and go Vols.
Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM, Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network.